I want very much to begin with words of humble thanks, Pastor Alberts, for the high honor you've given me. And indeed, I am humbled to be here tonight. And to you, my brother pastors, some newer, some of you 25 years we've labored together in Akron, and how much we appreciate all you've done in your parishes and church. Certainly to you in the area congregations in Kent State, I taught today from 7:30 to 5:30, so no whining or complaining from you. And then to the dear members of Talmadge Lutheran, what a privilege and joy it is to stand before you once again and to be able to share the Word of God with you. It's a great honor to be here on the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther. As this was unfolding, I sent notes to a number of my colleagues in ministry, some I've known for 45 years, and I said, this is what I get to do. What would you say? And gosh, the list of where we would go has a left end and a right end. Some want us to do a complete litany of the 95 theses and to point out everything that was wrong at the time. And they have sincerely said, there was a lot wrong, and you better point that out or you failed. Others have gone to the opposite end and said, just the simple gospel. God so loved the world. Say that. A few have suggested that it needs to be a history lesson. Don't forget to start with John Huss. Include John Calvin. Make sure you mention Zwingli. Don't forget Philip Melanchthon that served with Luther. And definitely tell us of the life and history of Martin Luther. And I've said all of those are good and excellent. And perhaps you sitting there have in mind what you would like the sermon to be. And if that's the case, I'm happy to sit down and we'll take a few minutes and hear from you. Who's first? Yeah, who am I? I'm pretty sure it's not true. And that's probably not the best line for a pastor to begin a sermon with. But I'm pretty sure it's not true. There's a cartoon that's been around for ages. It shows Martin Luther, much as Hannah did, with hammer and nails in place. And he is pounding. Please, in your mind, sound of hammer, steel against steel. You're getting the sense and the noise that's going to go with it. And he's pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And that attracts a crowd. The crowd, in this instance, are a whole group of Catholic priests. What are you doing to the church door? One of them bravely says, Luther, are you fixing our door finally? To which he answers, I'm not fixing the door. I'm fixing your theology. Ouch. Ouch. I don't know if the door needed to be fixed or not, but in most churches I've been in, there's always something to fix. Well, tonight I'd like to suggest that the things that need to be fixed might be you and me. For example, you know you're a Lutheran in all those 500 years of heritage with Martin Luther. If you have a beautiful stitchery somewhere in your house, and your house is incredibly messy, socks, newspapers, dirty dishes, things that haven't been put away, and the stitchery says, in this house we are saved by grace, not works. You know you're a Lutheran if the building is on fire. Holy cow, fire! And you run into this to save the sacred vessels and come out carrying the coffee pot. Then you're really a Lutheran. You're standing in the entrance of the church and you hear two people animatedly talking about, let's decorate the church in red. No, green, red, green. And you recall, they're not talking about Christmas. They're fighting over which hymnal goes in the pew. Then you know you're really a Lutheran. So how many of you have fought those battles? Would you like to just head down to Starbucks for coffee and call it a night? We can't fix the church. We can't fix ourselves. And we we can't fix the world. It could have been 1517, which is an awful lot like today, but it wasn't. Think back. The oceans have come up out of the banks, smashing buildings, houses, and turning children into orphans. Mountains shake. The earth trembles. Buildings fall down. A political leader sharpens the sword, puts shoes on the horses, lines up the chariots, and rattles the sabers of war. And in the middle of that, someone says, "Where is God? Is there a God in times of tumult?" Could be today, but it isn't. Could have been 1517. No. 1517, historians said, January of that year, Muslim invaders went into Egypt, captured Cairo, and made it a Muslim caliphate. A raging fever went to Oxford and Cambridge in England and killed hundreds of people because there was no health care of what to do with it. Chinese and Portuguese people met together at what became Hong Kong because they were interested, what can we do to create better trade for our countries? The Pope gathered people together to have a heresy trial, not for Martin Luther, but for King Louis XII of France, because he dared say the Pope was wrong. And in the Netherlands, they rounded up the Protestants and hung them for heresy. Then, in October of that year, Martin Luther posted 95 things on the door. Let's talk. But that isn't what it was about either. 900 BC, the sons of Korah. You always picture the Psalms by David. Maybe Psalm 90 by Moses. No, there's a group of folks called the sons of Korah. They wrote the psalm we did and the song you sang from Luther. And they talked about a very turbulent time. I'd like you to hear it once more, because Psalm 46, I'm going to submit to you tonight, probably has the one truth stronger than the doctrines of Luther. Not about indulgences, not about transubstantiation, not about papal infallibility, not about a host of other parts that we want to claim and jump all over. Those are important, make no mistake. But I will submit to you the heresy, the heritage, and the legacy of Martin Luther that means anything to me is, where is God in a turbulent time in the world? And I'd like you to think about that, because we live in a turbulent time in which sin makes the ocean come out of the banks, the ground shakes, the politicians threaten war, people die, and we wonder, where is God? How Luther yearned for peace with God when that happened to him. This is a modern translation that I want to read, not the whole psalm, key verses because of what they communicate. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. No, we're not going to be afraid when earthquakes come or mountains fall. Go ahead, let the oceans roar, let them foam, let the mountains tremble, let the waters surge. There's a quiet little river that brings joy to the people of God. God dwells in that city. You can't destroy it. From the very break of day, God's hand protects it. Oh, yes, nations are in chaos. Their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders. The earth melts. The Lord of heaven's army is still protecting us. The God of Israel is our refuge and strength. Please, please, come and see the glorious things God has done. See how he lets the earth fall apart in judgment. Yes, there are wars, but God is the one in his time that breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. People of God, be still. Know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation and people. I will be honored throughout the world because the Lord God is with us. He is our refuge and our strength. As Luther wrestled with popes and princes and trials and peasants, societal upset, arrests, and all of the host of things that sin and pressure brought to his world of tumult, yes, the grace of God is central, but for him to know, there is a God that knows my name. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, he gives peace. Yes, you know the history, how Luther worked and yearned and strove to make himself fit with God. And it was futile. It was when the hand of God through the crucified Son died on the cross with his precious blood because of sin, was buried in the grave. 3 days later, shook the stone apart and announced to the world, sin, death, and the devil have been defeated forever. Then Luther could turn and discover the wonderful words from Ephesians. By grace, you are saved through faith. It isn't a work. It is a gift of God, so don't boast, but take heart. So will you allow me to end with one story in two parts? I really believe this 42 years in ministry. If any of you ever ask, how have you changed through the years in 1975 with long curly hair that was over your collar, bell-bottom pants and paisley shirts, I was a stud. It's just the way it was. I mean, you got to call it like you see it, right? You're a minister. It's come to this. In a world of tumult and upset, I need to have one thing to hold on to, and it's the peace of God that is mine by faith. So a very wealthy man said, I'm going to have a competition. Please bring a painting by this date that portrays peace in the world. There was a large financial award if you would win. So you can imagine the creative juices. People began to say, what does peace look like? 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 Really look like on canvas. Get your charcoal pen and your tablet. Draw it. What does peace look like? Finally, the day comes and they're all supposed to bring their pictures and show them. So they're looking, this is great, nice, well done, good concept, nice proportion, good colors, like what you've done. Two went to the top. Beautiful picture. Please see it and feel the breeze, the warmth of the sun, hear the birds, hear the animals, the kids, hear it. It's a picture of a farm. the barn, all newly painted with white on the borders, the farmhouse with a white picket fence. The sky is blue as blue can be. The clouds are white and fleecy. They look magnificent. The flowers are all in bloom, yellow, green, red, gorgeous flowers. The dog and the cat are running around in the yard. The kids are playing. Mom's apple pie is in the window, still cooling. A little bird in the bush, sitting there gently. Is that not a picture of peace? Yes? No? Peace? Everybody like it? Well, you're wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Here I stand, said Luther, and Dave Zachridge with him. Just this once. The guy said, that's a good picture, but show me the other one. Completely the opposite. The sky is jet black. It's a storm, a fierce storm. Lightning is arching through the sky. Thunder is booming. No kids, no pets. The flowers are leaned over. The tree is just about going to lose all its leaves. It is a horrible picture of a storm. Horrible. Until you look just under the sill of the barn roof, where there was a little beam. And you know what's on the beam? Any idea what's on the beam? The bird that was in the nest on the tree is under the roof of the barn, safe from the storm. Brothers and sisters, in a world that we live in, Luther did, Sons of Korah did, we probably always will. Sin is not gone, and there will be storms. In our world, in your life, and in my life, there will be storms. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the hand of God that keeps us safe, no matter the storm. Luther eventually was able to find that peace when he uttered those very famous words that you all know. Here I... Well, that was the lamest stand I've ever heard from a bunch of Lutherans. Here I maybe stand. Here I stand. I cannot do other, he said, unless convicted by conscience. And it is neither right nor safe to go against conscience. I believe that no matter what, God is with me. 500 years of that. What a heritage. Hold on to that. Because it's God's promise to you. Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Luther found it. We believe it. We live it. Thank you for your time with us tonight and our heritage. Amen. No, I was here 21 years, and the only time they clapped was when I said, I'm leaving.
Thank you, Pastor Zachridge, for that message.